Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black, and here we are at WCHL 97.9. And in Nonprofit Showcase, this episode, we are just so happy to have Jennifer Ashley, who is the executive director of an amazing organization that you're going to learn a lot about called A Helping Hand. A Helping Hand. Jennifer, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Well, I learned about your organization through another friend, a mutual friend, and I said, well, we've got to get you on the Nonprofit Showcase because I suspect there are a lot of people who don't know anything about A Helping Hand. Tell us basically, what is it you do?
Sure. So we are actually the only nonprofit companion care organization in Orange, Durham, Northern Chatham, and Western Wake. Basically, what we do is we go into the home of older adults and we provide essential services, vital services that allow people not only to age in place, but also to be able to access important, vital things like medical care.
Mm-hmm. Taking your medicine at the right time.
Right. And escorted medical transportation and grocery shopping, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple of new phrases in our language.
Yes.
That you just used two of them that strike me. Companion care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all think about child care. Now we're talking about companion care, which focuses on the adult. And this concept that we hear more and more about called aging in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the difference between that and the other models that we've had historically?
In the future, and it's been an increasing trend over the last 10 to 15 years, you'll find that people are really much more focused on either aging in their homes or aging in a place where they feel safe, whether that be a relative's home or even a facility. However, because North Carolina is graying at an accelerated rate, much more than many other states in the country, I think we'll also find that even if people wanted to be in any sort of continuing care retirement community or assisted living, that there may not be enough. And the affordability is a huge factor.
Huge factor. And, of course, in earlier days, we had multi-generational homes, right?
Yes.
Not so much anymore.
Not as much. And I find really for us, it's such a great experience to work with us because the faith-based community is really one of the only sections of our culture where you see an intergenerational component anymore. And so I think we're really losing the contributions of older adults as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, their self-worth and mental health and all of those things get tied together.
Sure.
Now, how many people are you able to support in the area?
Well, it goes by county. So anywhere from 150 to 200 volunteer clients. And we'd certainly like to add to that. We always have a waiting list of people who are interested in service or interested in more service than they currently receive.
Uh-huh. Now, how do you get referrals for these volunteers?
They come a lot of different ways. We have some self-referrals, families referring. We're a really good community partner in the aging community.
And so you talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
That novel concept of let's all get together and talk.
It's a heavily collaborative mm-hmm. effort. Orange County is a model for aging, and so we love to work with the Orange County Department on Aging.
And all the programs that they offer, and this can feed right into it.
Yes, and so we work sort of in lockstep with them with a lot of things, and Durham County as well is wonderful, and they're really focused on aging lately, which is tremendous.
Well, let me ask a question then. Someone calls you and says there's a potential client, mm-hmm. Could you incorporate them? So what happens first? You go interview or?
Yes. So we have someone who goes out and does an assessment in the home.
Okay. And that determines what services are needed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that usually takes about 40 minutes to an hour. And we're also getting to know the person because—
Are these volunteers doing the assessment or
there
paid
are,
staff?
Our paid staff.
Okay.
Our intake coordinator does that.
Intake coordinator. Okay. Another great title.
Yeah. All this jargon.
Yeah. And so they do the assessment and they determine what is needed.
They determine what is needed, and we view ourselves as essentially matchmakers. We're trying to create relationships, and so we want to know all of the wonderful things about this person in addition to their needs.
Can some of these be couples still aging in place as opposed to just singles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you interview this person, you do the assessment, you come up with a prescription of what's necessary to support this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to link them with a volunteer. Is that the next step?
We do.
And you're matching interests?
We are.
Okay. How's that work? That sounds magical.
We love to match interests. That's that's really our priority. So availability is obviously a consideration with volunteers. We love to have volunteers who are retired or maybe work from home or are students.
Have some time that they can donate.
During the day, mm-hmm. which is important. And then if someone has an interest or background in photography, we'll look to see if we have someone who has a similar interest or background or a personality match. We know the companions very well, and we like to match them up.
And so you know your volunteers, and you have sort of a skills assessment for them too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So putting like interests together. So what are some of the things this volunteer might do when they come into the home?
Well, I always say that companion care is a real misnomer for us because it's a very task-oriented volunteer opportunity, and the need is very task-oriented. So a lot of times it's very busy. It's taking people to escorted medical transportation.
Okay, they have an appointment at one of our many clinics.
And staying with them,
okay.
Which allows people to get all sorts of surgeries where they have to have an individual with them, like
somebody
cataracts.
Who can drive you home in case they gave you medicine or
mm-hmm.
put those drops in your eyes and you can't drive.
So that's a huge, huge service that we provide. In addition, shopping assistance is very big. Anything from in-home assistance, light housekeeping, to special projects. We do family histories, talk about getting an oral history done for someone. We've taken people to Durham Bulls games or to a jazz concert.
Well, that sounds really interesting. We're going to have to take our break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this oral history thing because it's one of the things I wish I had done with my grandparents and
yes.
had that all written down. Because once they're gone, you know, you're left with memories, but you don't remember all the details. So we'll be right back with Nonprofit Showcase in just a few seconds. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and we are with Jennifer Ashley, who is the executive director of A Helping Hand, which does a great service for those in need of just a little help. And when we took our break, Jennifer was talking about some of the things volunteers help clients with in the home, and she struck a real nerve with me when she said, doing oral histories. Talk about that a little, if you would.
Like I had said before, a lot of older adults have so much wisdom and so much history, so much institutional knowledge about cultures and communities. And I think if you have pride in where you live, whether that be Durham or Chapel Hill or Carrboro, it is so fascinating to sit down and talk with someone who has seen the evolution of a place or a culture or a movement. And so we have been able to actually record through the Museum of Durham History a woman who was 107 and all of her history, which was tremendous.
These are just audio, not visual. Video,
right.
Okay.
Audio, and we do that for a lot of people who feel like they want to make sure that they get down some of their legacy and some of their experience.
And they can tell their story and
absolutely. And it's beautiful. It's so fascinating.
And there's so many of these stories that we've never heard anyway, and so their recollections are important.
Yes.
How long does a volunteer normally work for you in helping a client?
The standard sort of shift for volunteering is usually about 3 hours. That gives you time to kind of, get settled in, do some pretty substantive tasks like going to the store or a medical appointment. So 3 hours a week is a very nice contribution to a senior.
And with so many other volunteer endeavors that we see with our nonprofits, both sides of the equation are benefiting from the experience.
It's a tremendous
experience. It's not a one-way thing at all.
It's very transformative. We have a lot of interns from UNC and Duke pre-health students who really are transformed by the experience.
Sure, sure. And every organization's executive director I talk to mentions that so much of what we do in this community would not be possible without the many students from Duke or Central or UNC Chapel Hill that step up. And many of them are related to their studies, but others just because the joy of serving others.
Yes. This generation of millennials, we are very motivated to serve, we found.
And we criticize them all the time, but yet here they are doing all these wonderful things. It's just amazing to me.
We couldn't do our program without them. They really they provide a level of consistency for the individuals we serve that's really unmatched in any volunteer program because they're able to provide consistent weekly assistance.
Okay. So I call you and I say, Jennifer, I've got a couple of hours I can use to volunteer. What do you tell me next?
We tell you, yay.
Fill out this form.
we'll have you come into our office.
Okay.
And we have a chat about what your goals are and your interests, and we give you a little background on the program. We do have a training before individuals start. It's about 3.5 hours.
This is done by your staff based on all of the experience they've gained through
the
program.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do to get someone service ready, I guess is the right word.
Yeah. It's policies and procedures,
okay.
But it's also sort of things about aging that people might not know, some good perspective on the role that you're about to inhabit. And we do a background check, a driver's background check, and then another background check through Department of Health Service Regulation that usually
goes through the county sheriff or something, one of those backgrounds.
Yeah.
Same thing if you want to work in the schools.
You've
got to get those kinds of checks.
Because it's a vulnerable population.
So then does that person shadow another volunteer initially before they're given their own client?
They have the option to do so, but most of the time people are really eager to get started and pair up with someone. And one thing we do, we have a game called What Would You Do? And we go through all of these sort of different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So people have maybe practiced before if, you know, something happens that they weren't sort of expecting.
Do you ever find that you have a volunteer that you match with a client that they happen to know?
We tell people that it's a big, small town.
You might know somebody.
We've definitely had – we had a young lady serve someone who, she looked on the mantle and saw a picture of one of her classmates, and that was the granddaughter of the person she was
working
with.
So there's a connection.
Absolutely.
Doesn't take 6 degrees in this town at all.
It doesn't.
And so the volunteers are then matched, and you have this master schedule that you're doing, making sure that each client is receiving the volunteer services as you assessed.
Yes.
And then things can change in process, right?
Oh, yes. There's a great amount of flexibility.
Because their needs change.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so we try to support both the person we're working with, the client, and the volunteer companion to make sure that they're both getting the most out of the experience.
Okay. Now, if the volunteer observes something while they're with the client, they provide that feedback to you?
Yes. And we are connected to family members or other support
social
networks.
Services, like it looks like they may have fallen and bruised themselves or something like that.
Yes. And part of the training, we have sort of protocols for different types of emergencies that rarely happen, but just in case to make sure that when our goal is that when a volunteer enters into the home, that they feel very supported and prepared for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing that strikes me is that the volunteers become a sounding board, too, right, for the client. I mean, they ask them questions, get their opinions.
They do. It's a very our goal is to allow people to age in place with as much independence and dignity as possible. Mm-hmm. And so we really do set up a dynamic of that this is a relationship, that there's a back and forth. And our volunteers always report that they learn so much from the people that they're working with, mm-hmm. and that they get so much more out of it.
And the client has other friends and family that might come visit too, I assume. I
mean, it depends. We do have some pretty isolated seniors. We have a volunteer. Well, we have a companion, Kathy Bonner. She's a retired principal, and she had a wonderful way to describe it. She said that our clients' worlds are shrinking and that our job is to expand them.
Well, that's a nice way to think about what you're doing. Well, you know, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, I want you to tell us what people can do if they're interested on either side of this equation. And this is Nonprofit Showcase, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. And here we are at WCHL 97.9 on your radio dial. And Jennifer Ashley is here from A Helping Hand. And when we took the break, Jennifer was telling us about all the training and the preparation and the relationship building. So now I'm interested in what can people do if they're interested in either being volunteer or they want to recommend somebody to be a client. Tell us how all that works. And then how do we pay for all this? That's the other thing we need to talk about.
Of course. So if anyone, you know, has a person in mind who they think could benefit from the service, they can give us a call. Our number is 919-403-5555.
And you have a website?
ahelpinghandnc.org. And they can check out all the particulars there. We're happy to speak with anyone.
And there's a contact link there.
There is.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. You can contact us through the website. In terms of volunteering, we really feel like our volunteers and our clients shape the culture of the organization. It's not lost on us that many of the volunteers come with and clients come with a tremendous rich background, and so we mm-hmm. want to make sure that people can contribute in the ways that they feel are beneficial. We're always in need of volunteers, particularly with daytime hours.
You have to be 18 and above?
You do have to be 18 and above to work directly with clients.
And you need a driver's license, I assume,
yes.
because of the transportation link.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have administrative roles within the office that are mm-hmm. very helpful for us. But by and large, working with clients, it would require a driver's license and to be 18 and above. And you can reach out to us in those same ways. There's a volunteer tab on our website mm-hmm. or giving us a call. We're always
and that kicks off the assessment process you were talking about and then the training.
Right.
Okay.
And currently we have about 15 people on our waiting list who are waiting for service.
These are clients that don't have anybody that you can send right now.
Right.
So you need some more volunteers.
We're always in need of
volunteers. Hear that, radio world? She needs more volunteers.
We need them.
And as you said, it's a couple of hours a week you're asking.
Yeah. Right. It can be as little as 3 hours a week, which is a visit I promise people will be looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, I did an interview with Stacy from Meals on Wheels, and you know Stacy and her mm-hmm. program, and I suspect some of your clients receive those meals.
They do.
And she was talking about the social interaction part of when the deliverer shows up and how excited some of the clients are.
It is so important
to see somebody and talk to somebody and have that human experience for just a few moments.
There was a recent study that isolation is just as detrimental to your health as obesity mm-hmm. In terms of morbidity. So everybody needs connections. We're
and that's so
creatures.
Important. Now, how do you fund all of this?
We have combinations. So we have support through Orange County, Durham County, family foundations, and we have an annual appeal, so private donors.
Do you have a fundraiser, big fundraiser? Or?
We do have an annual appeal, and we'll be
launching. And that's on your website, too, the donate link?
It is. Okay. It is. And all of
– And you'll accept gifts.
We love gifts.
Well, unfortunately, our brief time together is coming to an end, but I really want to commend you for all that you're doing to help that generation that we all want to be one day. So this is Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and we'll see you next time.